By faith we know we have the victory, and no matter what the cost, we will fight to rescue hopeless sinners. Not a soul must ever be lost. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with His redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew Him, and all my love is due Him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood.
Good afternoon out there in YouTube, Rumble, Facebook, and wherever else you're listening from, land. I hope you had a good last couple days, and I hope you've been serving the Lord and living for God and doing the things that God would have you to do. We are steady about our Lord's business. You know, also, yesterday, I had the trying of my faith, as there's a portion of my property out back that I've been working on. I decided I was going to clean it up, and my goodness, is it a mess. There is buckthorn, like 15 feet tall in there. Goodness gracious, it's huge. Anyway, it'll be fun once I get it all done, but we've had some fun back there. Chopping stuff, cutting stuff, all kinds of stuff. Down back there to clear it out, to make it profitable. That buckthorn just comes in, and man, it reminds me of the Bible, when the Bible talks about, God's Word tells us about seeing the man's field that was overgrown, that he didn't do anything with, and it just grew, and it was nasty and horrible, and that's kind of what that spot is back there, the same way. It's like raising children, you know. If you allow them just to grow up, they'll grow up with a lot of bad weeds. Either way, they'll grow up. Either way, they will. But we are called and commanded to raise them, like you're raising a tree or a plant. So you take great care how you do that. And those things are important for us to remember and to understand, and those principles of life from the Word of God. Boy, are we going to talk about some stuff today. I haven't talked about it yet. I waited to talk about this just because, you know, I it wasn't on the top of my important list here of things to do. You know, to talk about, but we're going to talk about the issue of Trump, Mar-a-Lago, what took place. You know, what happened with all that stuff. And we're not going to get into all kinds of crazy details or anything like that. But what we are going to do is get into I want you to understand that I believe this is a continuing psyop of a saga. And that this issue, is being magnified on purpose. And then I want to talk about what is the Christian's responsibility with all these things. Because if you're not careful, man, you're going to let these people get you worked up, man. And you're going to be grabbing your pitchfork or your shotgun or whatever else you got. And you're going to be joining the next crazy group of people, which usually have FBI infiltrators as a part of them, by the way. That they're going to do that. And you're going to be a part of that. You're going to get caught up in the hype of it. Well, let me just start this out by telling you. Don't get caught up in their drama. Don't get taken by their drama. Holy buckets, it's freezing in here. Hang on a second, I gotta turn this thing up. Boy, can it get cold in here. Don't get caught up. In the drama. Because that, see, what's going on here is they're trying to get you caught up in the drama. They're trying to get you caught up in the drama. Are these people crooked? Yes, all of them are. Their establishment is. Their group is. Their groups are. Their groups are. And if you're not careful, you'll forget what group you're a part of. And you'll get subverted by these people, taken by them, and you know what? You'll start joining their crew and everything like that, and pretty soon you're standing toe-to-toe with a bunch of stinking sodomites and a bunch of transgenders and a bunch of other people that you don't even agree with. It's dangerous. It's absolutely dangerous. And I'll tell you what, I don't make a whole lot of friends when I say this, because I got pastor friends out there, if they're still friends with me. Some of them, man, they're Trump. And they're just all like, they're ready to take their shotgun, their pitchforks, their ukuleles, and their violins, and they're ready to fiddle all the way up to DC and get into a brawl. And me, I'm standing back here like, I don't like any of these people. I don't trust any of them. It's like, wait, don't you think it's bad that they invaded, that they raided Mar-a-Lago? Absolutely, I think it's bad. I think those people are sick. But take it from a former drug dealer that understands how absolutely wicked police are. Law enforcement in America is the most wicked and corrupt organization you'll ever find. You want to know where the mafia is? They're in D.C. You want to know where they are? They get court orders. They get subpoenas, power. They get all those things. That's what they do. Do I think that the FBI had no right to do what they did? Absolutely. But I don't think the FBI has a right to do it to anybody unless they're a criminal like with, you know, like child pornography. You know, like Epstein, you know, like Epstein's people. You know, like all the politicians that were riding on Epstein's airplane. You know, like all the politicians that were flying around with Epstein on his island. Right? Hey, Ben, I'm not answering your stupid question. So stop spamming me with your dumb, stupid arguments. I'm not a charismatic. I'm never going to be a charismatic. I have a Bible. If you don't like that, Ben, don't come back here. So what do I think it was a real rape? Yeah, sure I do. See, I don't discount things that actually happen. I say they're used for a purpose. They're used for a purpose. Like, did they really raid him? Sure they did. Why should that bother you? Well, it should bother me because I'm bothered by any American that their rights are violated and somebody comes in and violates them. Right? I don't like it to happen to anybody. I don't care who they are. I don't want it to happen to anybody. I don't care who it is. I think the federal government has way too much authority and way too much power that it's usurped. But are you noticing something here? Right. Unless they're criminals. Of course. But here's the thing. I'll tell you, I'll give you the plain truth. The FBI is one of the most corrupt organizations ever. It just absolutely is corrupt. But it always has been corrupt. It didn't become corrupt. It always has been corrupt. It always has been. J. Edgar Hoover. So it always, the FBI always has been. Okay, take for instance what they did to those guys in Michigan. They set those guys up in Michigan. The federal government set them up, paid them money, gave them credit cards, wanted them to buy guns, and made them, and attempted to get them to kidnap the governor of Michigan, Whitmer. They wanted them to, the FBI planned the entire operation. And I've been saying this for 15 years almost. What I've been telling people is every time you hear of people that make things go boom, boom, they're always connected to the government. Always. Always. And the only thing that it's designed to do is to enrage you. It's designed for you to get mad and take a side. It's designed to divide the country so completely. To provoke you. That's what it, and it's, you have to understand something. The reason I call it a psyop is because it's a psychological operation. The whole thing is. They want you to react. And you know who they really want to react? You know who they really want to react? Bible-believing Christians. They want them. Why do you think they've loaded everybody up with guns? Why do you think they've loaded everyone up and sold so many guns and pushed so much stuff and did? Why do you think they did? Because they want it. They want that. That's exactly what they want. And they want you to react to the psychological operation. Ben's a charismatic that's asking me the same question over and over again for a reason. That's what they want to do. They want to get you so enraged that you'll play their game. And I'm standing over here like I'm not fooled. I'm not so weak-minded that your little political psyop is going to make me want to join in your merry band of misfits. Like, if you watch that latest episode of Tucker Carlson, he talks about in there, he read the transcript of what they did. What the FBI agents did to those people. It reminds me of what the FBI did to those people that were over in Michigan. They would send messages and try to get that group together, try to get them to meet together and show them videos of explosives and all kinds of stuff like that and tried to get them to like pull the plug and to do something. And each time they were like, nah, man, we ain't into that. The government had to have their case thrown out because they looked like fools because they were trying to set these patriots up, and all they were just patriotic people that wanted to see the Constitutional Republic restored. They didn't want to, they weren't trying to hurt anybody. They set the whole thing up. Hang on a second. Let me look at this thread here and see. Maybe I was wrong about Ben. Let's see. I could be. It's not the first time. I don't see Ben's writings even in here, so... Okay. Okay, Ben, I apologize. Forgive me. I didn't realize that. I get attacked by so many charismatics on here that it happens quite a bit. Anyway, I apologize. Forgive me for that. It looks like he's a pastor that was asked a question. Most of the time when I have people repeat the same question over and over again, it's because they're spamming my broadcast. So I apologize about that, brother. Why don't you send me an email and I'll give you all the information you need. Send it to salvationpreacher@gmail.com and, we'll get it taken care of. I'll try to find out where I blocked you at on the other one and get that taken care of. It happens quite a bit on here. Let's see. I think I might have just restored it. So next time Ben comments, I think it should be restored. I took that off, the block that was off there. I get so many charismatics spamming me, and they ask me the same questions. And typically when that happens, it's a repeated thing, and it usually is a spammer. But anyway, I do apologize for that, brother. Okay, so back to this. The Trump group, I mean, the FBI with these Michigan people, that's exactly what they did. They set them up. And it didn't work, right? So, and then go back to January 6th. January 6th, there's reported 20 FBI informants that were part of that. Now, if you remember what I said the day after that, I said, or maybe it was the day of it, I said, I wonder if the FBI had anything to do with that. Or something like that, I remember saying. And then I read an article right away that said, 2 weeks before January 6th, the FBI interviewed all these people and told them, wink, wink, don't show up. Don't show up on January 6th, wink, wink. Just like if you won't convince me that the President of the United States didn't know that that was going to go down either. I just don't believe it. I don't believe it. So what are you saying, preacher? I'm saying they're all in on it, and it's a cat and mouse game. That's what it is. It is an absolute cat and mouse game. And they're baiting people. And what they're trying to do with it all is to get the outrage so high, get people so angry, right? That people explode. That's what they want. They want people to explode. They want people to get angry. They want people to flip out. I think Biden knew. Absolutely, I think Biden knew. Did Trump know about the FBI raid? No, I don't think he did. No, I don't think he did. No, I don't think he knew about it. Did he know it was maybe coming or something was coming? Yeah. I think so. I think he knew something was possibly coming, but I don't think he knew exactly what it was. But do I think they're all part of it? Yeah. I think they're all part of it. See, because here's the thing. These people don't really hate each other like you think they do. And what they do is they play a role. They play a role. And do I believe that, oh, January 6th? Yeah, I think Trump knew about that. Yeah, I absolutely think Trump knew about that. You bet I do. You bet I do. I think all of them knew about it. I think all of them knew about it, in that sense, all the big wigs. What's the end game? To keep people in the system. You see, Trump lost the election, which I don't believe he lost, actually. I really don't believe he. I do not believe that he lost that election. I don't. So when he says it was rigged, do you believe that? Yes, I do believe it was rigged. I do. Sure I do, but I'll go one step further. I believe all of the presidential elections are rigged. I don't believe just one. See, what happened was, and this is going to get me kicked off everywhere, but what happened was, just what was said years ago from the New World Order, just what was said, that it doesn't, it only matters who counts the votes. Right? So, when they're all playing a game with each other, why am I going to jump on board and play their game with them? Because Trump has said things like, you know, we need to lower the temperature in the country. Well, I agree with that. I believe that the temperature needs to be lowered, too, because people are going nuts. People are talking crazy, but you want to know who's going more nuts than anybody? FBI informants. They're the ones that are doing everything. They're the ones that are provoking everything. They provoked that raid and did all those things on purpose. Like, they provoked that because they want to provoke people. Like, January 6th, the question could be asked, well, where's Ray Epps at? How come that guy's not prosecuted? He's on video everywhere. Why isn't that guy in a federal prison in the torture camps that these people have and all those other things? Why isn't he there when he's on video telling everybody to go raid the Capitol? Why wouldn't he be? I'll tell you why. Because the whole thing was set up. Just like this is all being set up. And you know what? Some people have a point when they say that Trump could be the Phoenix Rising. Right? Trump could be the Phoenix Rising. So people ask the question, is Biden crooked? Well, sure he is. Is Trump? Well, sure he is. They all are. They're all crooked. They all are. And what you have to decide is, well, do I really want to jump on this? Do I really want to jump into the ring with all these people? Do I really believe their story? No, I don't. I don't believe it. I don't believe Trump's a Christian. I don't believe Biden's a Christian. I don't believe in the Hegelian dialectic. I don't believe I have to take a side. Why would I take sides with all these people? Why would I jump on their bandwagon and agree with it when federal law enforcement, the United States federal government, under whatever regime has been in there, whether it's been Trump or whether it's been Biden, what have they both done? Both pushed a new world order. Now you're going to say to me, but Trump was a nationalist, so how did he push it? Well, he wanted America to run it. Well, how do you figure? Well, Trump was the most sodomite-approved president there ever was. He did more for the LGBTQ. He did more for sodomites to put him in his government than anyone did. Any other president. Right? He did more. So to push those things on the American people. And as I've documented and proved to you, I don't know what OWS is. She said Trump lost me at OWS. I don't know what OWS is. As I proved to you before, that documented that these people continue to follow the same agenda, like Trump pushed the religious right. He pushed the religious right. More so than anyone. Into the sodomite movement. He's the one that developed Operation Warp Speed and the vaccine, which does no good. Didn't stop the transmission of the disease. Trump's the one that shut down the federal government. Trump's the one that shut down the economy, and part of the inflation problem today is not what Biden did. It's what Trump did. They were dumping barrels of oil. They were selling barrels of oil for negative amounts of money or whatever. At that time when they shut everything down. So to pretend like none of that stuff happened, is absolutely asinine and ridiculous. That inflation had nothing to do with all the money that they sent us, I mean $4,000 here and $4,000 there and all this other money. Right? That had nothing to do with it. So what's happening is people are like forgetting that both these sides have been absolutely crooked. And that they threw a bone to the religious right by casting down Roe versus Wade, but did not rule that a baby is a person and has a right to live. Why was that? Duplicity. They did it on purpose. To keep you in the game. All of this is to keep people in the game. Not to stand outside the box and look and say, you know what? Something stinks here. Something's not right here. Something doesn't add up here. Right? It's to keep you in the game. So how are they going to keep you in the game this election? Every election is the greatest election of our time. And to keep you in the election, what are they going to do? They had to push the FBI raid on Mar-a-Lago. They had to push Trump being persecuted. So then that would make others rise up to defend the narrative and get you involved again. Now, I did say one thing. I'm definitely voting for governor of Minnesota because I did promise one thing. When that guy locked this state down, I was like, I'm voting that guy out. I am definitely voting that guy out. And if you choose, I'm not telling anybody not to vote, not to do, you know, whatever you're led to do by the Lord. But I know one thing. I said, I'm voting that guy out. That governor, I'm voting him out. I am voting that guy out. Especially when he shut down all the churches the way he did. I said, oh, I'm voting that guy out. So anyway, but the point is that there's always something. And now they have this big, huge psyop. Still, they're going to indict Trump. Well, maybe they will. I don't think it'll do him a whole lot of good. But it'll enrage a lot of people. It'll make a lot of people mad. And that's what they want to do. I'll tell you what they really want you to do. They want you to lose your Christian testimony by rampaging in these things. That's what they want you to do. They want to get you to rampage. That's what they want. They absolutely want a civil war. And they want enough hillbillies to go, the South will rise again! They want them to do that. They I'm telling you, they really do. They want enough rednecks to get mad at them. That's what they really want. I mean, they're jonesing for it bad. They really, 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 really want it bad. They just do. They want us to fight. And here's the thing. Let me say this to you. Christians better remember what fight they're in. They better remember what war they're in. They better remember whose banner they're flying under. And not mix it with the double Felix or the double-headed Phoenix. They better remember that they're soldiers of the cross. And we're going to get into that. We're going to get into our responsibility and just remembering what our responsibility is and all those other things. I hear a lot of people talk about a lot of things out there. And if you're not careful, this will distract you and consume you. And I just remember one thing. That none of these people that are up there are on the Lord's side. Trump is not on the Lord's side. He is not. He is not on the Lord's side. These Republicans in the House and the Senate and all these people, they're not on the Lord's side. The side they're on is their own. Most of them are led by the spirit of Antichrist. And they want you to rise up. They want you to be distracted from the mission. And they're getting very wealthy too, by the way. All of these people are making a ton of money. It makes me wonder how much money people are putting into politics versus how much they're giving to their local New Testament churches. That's what it makes me wonder. It makes me wonder how much they're giving to the Lord versus how much they're giving to politics. How much they're invested in politics. When you look at it. So, the question is, for this portion, before we move on to the next, is this. The first question is, was it unjust to do that? Of course it was. Are they setting, is this all a setup? Yes, it is. But I'm not convinced any of those people would go to prison on either side. Secondly, is the FBI corrupt? Absolutely it is. Then thirdly, is Trump this virtuous leader that we should all stand up for and that we should all get behind and everything else? Well, I don't believe so. I believe most of these people have a really strange God complex because they're Antichrist to the core. Remember, these are the Kanye West billionaires. These are the Satanists. These are the Luciferians. These are the people that are running things. And you have to determine what exactly is my duty. And I'm going to help you see some of that today. We're going to talk about some of that righteous rebellion in the next hour here. We're going to talk about righteous rebellion. We're going to talk about what a Christian's duty is when it comes to these things. Romans 13. Because I think people are very confused. Very confused as to what a Christian's duty is concerning these things. And it is sad. Because I believe a lot of people are going to get taken by this. If they're not careful, they're going to get caught up in the hype of this. I don't know if you guys remember this, but this would have been a long time ago. But back in 2015 or 16, in the Hegelian dialectic original sermon that I did, I talked about how they basically created Trump by polling and fitting the exact polling data through Facebook groups, through data, through bots, through all kinds of stuff. And they figured out that there was a niche for some angry white men because of 8 years of Obama. So what they did was they took that and they developed, and Trump developed his message completely. And you can go back and listen to that. I don't have time to dig it up in the archives. But I promise you, in 2016, I talked about it. And what they did was they basically used all of the information out there that people had, people that were discontented, disgruntled, and everything else, and they built the platform up on that information through a PSYOP. That's what they did. Because they knew that there was 8 years of Obama, and they knew that real men were angry at that. So they developed Trump in a lab, basically, and the responses that Trump would give. I even showed it. I showed his earlier, the way that he spoke earlier, and then how he spoke in front of people, and it was all like ham and egger. And he wore the most ridiculous, ugly red hat known to man, which no billionaire would ever wear. The ugliest trucker, red, cheap, nasty, ugly hat you could ever find in your entire life. And that's what they did. I can't remember the group that did it, but it's back in my notes from years ago, and I'd have to find it. Or you can watch the video. Let's see. That's Trump 2. Here it is. Wow, it has more on. No, it doesn't. It has 11,000. Here you go. On the other one. Okay. Here it is. Trumped, delusion of choice, hypnotized by the Hegelian dialectic. And who could forget the Trumped Chronicles? Right? So anyway, there you go. If you go back and listen to that one right there, you will find that I spoke about in that, I believe I spoke about in that one, about the control groups, the groups that they developed through bots and through other things like that. all that good stuff. And I warned people back then about it. Yep. So anyway, I won't belabor that point. But they do want to foment a civil war. They've been wanting to foment a civil war for years. It's part of the plan. They always have wanted to do that. All right, let's play a song. And then we'll get right back to it. Flag that we follow. All right, that's the one that you ought to follow. That's the one that you ought to be supremely loyal to. I know people that are more loyal to Trump, it seems like, than they are to Jesus Christ, which is a very sad thing. Maybe they should hear this song.
Jesus is all the world to me. My life, my joy, my all. He is my strength from day to day. Without him I would fall.
When I am sad to him I go, no other one can cheer.
My friend. He sends the harvest, gold and grain, sunshine and rain, harvest of grain. He's my bread. Jesus is all the world to me. I want no better friend. I trust him now. I'll trust him when life's fleeting days shall end.
Beautiful life with such a friend. Beautiful life that has no end.
Friend. I hope that Jesus is your friend. I hope that is the case, and I hope that he's your best friend, and that men ought to follow Christ over the day, over the politics of the day, over what's going on in our world today, right? Now, let's talk about some of these things. I heard somebody say just today, or yesterday, maybe it was yesterday. I don't remember when I had the conversation with them, but somebody was, they got all riled up and man, they're ready to go charge Washington with a pitchfork. And man, they're ready to get the regulators to mount up and they're ready to go to war and they're ready to do this and they're ready to do that. And then somebody else on the thread said that, somebody else on the thread talked about, well, we just got to stop paying taxes. That's what we got to do. Because then if we stop paying taxes, I mean, we can't be giving these evil people money. Well, I'm here to tell you that, number one, I don't love money that much. So I don't want to sit in jail for it. I'll sit in prison for Jesus Christ. I hope I never have to. But I will sit in prison for Jesus Christ. But I'm not going to sit in prison because I love money. Or because I want to keep money. Or because I don't want to give a bunch of wicked people money from the government. Well, if you do that, if you give your tax money to them people, you're contributing to their wickedness. No, I'm not. Just like Joseph didn't. Look at Luke chapter 2, verse number 1. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. I asked the question and never got an answer. I said, so was Joseph some wicked contributing sinner because he gave the tax money? Ask Kent Hovind how well that all worked out. In my opinion, Kent Hovind has never got his brain back. Unfortunately, he's a smarter man than me. Knows way more than I do, and I'm not here to bash him. But they literally destroyed his mind and everything else. And it ends up being about money. And is it worth it? I don't think so. It's not my war. It's not my war. We get to Romans chapter 13 when it comes to taxes. Oh, I'm not going to pay my taxes. I'm going to prove that I don't have to do this. I'm going to be a sovereign citizen. Did you know that your sovereign citizenship is only as good as long as the Constitution and that is upheld? As soon as that's not recognized anymore, your sovereignty is not recognized either. And by the way, if they want to throw you in prison, they really don't care. For this cause, pay ye tribute also, for they are God's ministers attending continually upon this very thing. Render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. Does that mean it's all right? No, it's not right. Is it right to tax people into oblivion? No, it's not right. And there's nothing wrong with appealing it either. Nothing wrong to appealing things unto Caesar like Paul did. See this, though? The Pharisees tried to set him up, too. Set Jesus up. They lied about him. Said they began to accuse him, saying, "We found this fellow perverting the nation, forbidding to give tribute to Caesar." Well, that's not true. They lied about him. They tried to set him up with that in Mark chapter 12. When they were come, they say unto him, "Master, we know that thou art true and carest for no man. For thou regardest not the person of men, but teachest the way of God in truth. Is it lawful to give tribute to Caesar or not? Shall we give or shall we not give?" But he, knowing their hypocrisy, said to them, "Why tempt ye me? Bring me a penny, that I may see it." And they brought it, and he saith unto them, "Who is the image and superscription?" Then they said unto him, "Caesar's." And Jesus answering said to them, "Render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's." And they marveled at him. I don't want to go to prison for not giving money for money. I don't love it that much. Right? It ain't worth going to prison for. You know the number one crime in prostitution? You know what they got Al Capone on? Tax evasion. Now the government, they can run prostitution rings. They can run all those things. I'm just telling you, I don't love money enough for that. Right? You better think about that. Now I realize our forefathers, what they did when they had taxation without representation. I realize that. There was more to it than that, too. A lot more to it than that. And they really did have taxation without representation. If you ask me, most of these corrupt politicians do represent America. They represent the heart of a corrupt people. They represent a bunch of people that hate God. And that love this world. So you say, knowing this, is it wrong? Well, you know, if you have ways to appeal according to the laws of the land, then you should appeal those things. There's nothing wrong with that. Paul did it. You ought to do it. Church is located in Northfield, Minnesota, is where we meet at. The meeting house is in Northfield, Minnesota. Now, let me say this. Does that mean the government's right in everything they do? No. Does that mean you should appeal? Yes. I think you should. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. Paul did the same thing. You and I should do the same thing. But is money alone a reason for Christians to do anything? No, it never is. It never is. Money alone is never a reason for us to do those things. And to withhold money from them, you're asking for trouble. And you will probably more than likely get the trouble you're looking for. You will get it. They asked Jesus that question to set him up. Right? They asked him that question to set him up. He didn't fall for it. Don't you fall for it either. Now, Romans chapter 13 talks a lot about some things. So here's a question that somebody might ask. When is it right to rebel against the government? Matters of faith and matters of life and death. Matters of faith and matters of life and death. For instance, I'll give you an example. The Bible says, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnations. For rulers, this is the Bible describing biblical rulers. Rulers that are within their right to rule. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. So, let's back up here. So, let's say the government tells me, you're not allowed to have church. You're not allowed to have church. Am I doing evil by disobeying them? No. I'm doing good. Why? Because there's a principle in Scripture. Here it is. Acts 5:29. And when they had brought them, they set them before the council. And the high priest asked them, saying, did not we straitly command you that you should not teach in this name? And behold, you have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine, and intend to bring this man's blood upon us. Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than man. So, in other words, basically, anytime the government asks me to disobey God, I disobey the government. So, during the lockdowns in Minnesota, hang on a second. during the lockdowns in Minnesota, they said this. They said to us, no churches are allowed to meet, and they're not allowed to sing, and they're not allowed to do these other things, and if they do, then they're in violation. And after about 3 weeks, when I figured out that this wasn't the bubonic plague, I went to the men of the church and I said, look, I can't do this anymore. Because God Almighty told me, you get to church, preacher, you get that church back together. And I'm going to tell you what, God gave me no peace. And the governor was breathing out his threatenings and telling people they couldn't do this and they couldn't do that. And I said, you know what? I don't care. So we met again as a church. And then we had spies down the road that spied out our liberty. And they said, look at those people up on the hill up there. They're meeting. Look at them. They're having fun. They're smiling. They're happy. They're not wearing masks. They don't have face diapers on. Let's call the police. So they did. Because, of course, this is before the governor said, you can't sing when you meet. You can't sing. You have to sit 6 feet apart from everybody. You have to do this. You have to do that. And I was like, no. 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 Nope. So, what did I do? I rebelled against them. Did God punish me for it? No. Why? Well, because God commanded. In fact, that's right, Becca. That did, because we met in a secret location after the cops were called on us. Or maybe that was before. I don't remember. Anyway, we had the cops called on us twice. They called me up. They called me up and they said, now, Pastor! You can't be thwarting the governor's orders and throwing it in his face. And I'm like, the governor's not here. Not in his face. They said, you can't be doing that. There's 3 calls, Pastor, in Northfield. And you got 2 of them. Well, praise the Lord. So then we met in a secret location somewhere, which we affectionately called the Barn Sermons, which have not been produced, by the way. But if you send in $19.99, we will send you all of the Barn Sermons. I'm just kidding. We will send you the Barn Sermons with a special hillbilly hat from Pastor. I'm just kidding. I don't care. If they'd have showed up, I'd have been like, come on in. So we had the Barn Sermons for like 2 months. And the Lord brought us closer together. God used it. He really did. Our church grew stronger. None of us got sick with a thing. And then a year later, when they opened up, when they opened back up everything, then we got sick. All of us did. I laughed about it because it was ironic. God kept us, excuse me, God kept us through the whole thing. But I'm telling you what, and I'm not kidding you when I say this, God Almighty told me, you get that church back together. I said, I can't, I told the menace, I can't do it. I can't listen to this governor tell me what to do with the church. When the, if I believe the church is in danger, then I'll take care of the church. But I can't let this guy tell me what to do with the Lord's church. I can't do it. I can't stomach it. I can't do it. I can't, I don't care what he does. I can't do it. So we were wise and we hid out. And we had church the whole time. And then guess what? When a bunch of us, when a bunch of us got COVID, we didn't meet for 2 weeks. Ourselves, we made that decision as intelligent human beings that are led by the Holy Ghost, and we said, you know what? We're not going to meet for 2 weeks, folks. We're going to stay separated for 2 weeks. I'll preach to you. So through COVID, I preached online. And we did that for 2 weeks so everybody got better and could come back. And we basically stayed quarantined for the most part. So we didn't get anybody sick. And it passed. So, I didn't let the government, we as a church didn't let the government tell us what to do over what God told us to do. Because we knew we had to obey God. I knew, as a pastor, that I had to obey God. Even though the government told me. We ought to obey God rather than man. And my defense was not the First Amendment. My defense is the Bible. Although, I would use the First Amendment like the Apostle Paul did. When he used his appealing to Caesar. I would do the same thing. I would use the First Amendment. I would. And I did that. You know? But that's right, Leno. When it's all said and done, it's freedom of conscience. It's following the Lord. There is a time for righteous rebellion, and that's what I did. Oh, no. Let me say this to you. Everybody that's saying COVID is like a common cold, no it ain't. I watched my mom sit on a couch for 1 month straight and not be able to move. It was not a common cold. It was a genetically engineered disease. And it was nasty. Nasty. So, I don't think it was, I think, well, and I'll take, and I do think it's like the flu. I'm just saying it was genetically engineered. It was, they engineered it in a lab. That's right, Andrea. No joke. It ain't no joke. But you know something? During that whole time, God had me moving. I was moving out of my house and the Lord said, you got to take care of your parents. Right? So God used that at that time for me to get ready to get my house sold, to get ready to get my mom and dad's house sold, and to move into this house. God honored that righteous rebellion. Because it wasn't about money. It wasn't about some political figure. Because remember, Trump's the one that shut the government down. Real stuff. It hurt real people. People died from it. But people die from the terrible flu also. But I praise God for his goodness. But you see this right here. We're not to obey evil. Here's another one. No, I absolutely believe it was a genetically, it was made in a lab, and it was made to be worse. And Jody Hammond is probably something like long COVID. That's probably what it is. It was made to be worse. Specifically designed to kill old people. And you will never convince me of anything differently. Ever. Because I watched it. I watched it kill people. They made it in the lab. Anyway. But, terrible stuff. So, here's another example. The brethren over in China. If I do not rightly divide the word of truth, then all the Christians over in China are guilty for smuggling Bibles. Well, it says, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God. And they that resist shall receive themselves damnation. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise the same. So Paul is talking about not being a criminal. Not doing wicked things. Not doing evil things. Good, evil, good, evil, good, evil. So our brethren in China that are smuggling Bibles, they're not violating scripture. They're not violating this ordinance, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. Why are they not? Because they're not doing evil. They're doing good in God's eyes. Right? They're doing good in God's eyes. So there is a time for righteous rebellion. There is a time that God wants us. To rebel against government. We better make sure that rebellion is spiritual and scriptural. And not enticed or antagonized by Jesuit coadjutors that know how to stoke the flames. So you're a patriot before you're a Christian. So you want to defend the American flag or the American country or the Constitution before you do the Word of God. Excuse me. So your loyalties are not to the country, but to your Savior in that sense. That there's a reason why I do some of that. Okay, so here's another thing. If you came to the meeting house of Old Paths Baptist Church, you would notice a few things. Number one, you would notice there is no American flag. You would notice that we don't say the Pledge of Allegiance to the American flag. Now, I don't tell families what to do. If they want their children to say the Pledge of Allegiance at their home or whatever, that's between them and the Lord. But it was made by a socialist Baptist that was kicked out of, he was kicked out of his Baptist organization because of his, I think his church kicked him out because he was a socialist. I don't have the American flag flying in the meeting house. Why? Because I'm under the banner of the cross, not the American flag. People say, George Washington said the Pledge of Allegiance, so I'm going to say it too. No, actually he didn't. Actually, none of those men did. It was developed later. And it has nothing to do, I don't pledge my allegiance to the American flag. One nation under God. No. What God? What God do they serve? What God? Oh, the Phoenix Rising? That God? The God of the capstone? The capstone God? Right? Remember this? I'm going to show you this again. This always makes friends. I love making friends. I'm like Thomas, making tracks to distant lands. Thomas the Tank Engine. Okay, here we go. So on one side, so we have in God we trust. What God is that? That one. That's the one they're talking about. Well, who in the world is that? That's the Antichrist. That's the capstone. That's the all-seeing eye. That's the Masonic God. Novus Ordo Seclorum. That is Lucifer, the light of the lodge. That is Babylon, mystery, Babylon the Great. That one. That's a new world order. See? Well, that's the God they're talking about when they say the Pledge of Allegiance, when they use all those. That's the God they're referring to. Well, that's not my God. So that's Well, I'm not going to say the pledge. So what do I do? Well, I would rebel against that. I don't have anything to do with that. I don't have any. That's not. And it's 3:33 right now. I can't believe I always look at the clock when it's like that. I don't. I don't say the pledge like that. I don't do that. At Old Paths Baptist Church. By the way, let me go back to say this to you. When we were talking about the lockdowns, right? We're talking about the lockdowns. Those 501c3 churches that agreed to obey public policy and those 508 churches that are incorporated that have tax-exempt status, they were being highly dishonest. If they did not obey their masters, because they agreed to that, they agreed to obey public policy. And a corporation is a creature of the state. And they agreed to be a corporation. They agreed to be a creature of the state. That's what they agreed to. That was their understanding. That was their acceptance. So, I didn't realize this, but somebody brought it to my attention the other day. They called me, a pastor, and he said, "Do you remember what you said in your sermon back in 2012? And I'm like, "In your 501c3 sermon in 2012. I'm like, "No." I said a lot of things. He said, "You're a prophet." Because he said back in 2012, you said that these big churches, when the dollar crashes and is not worth as much, and these big churches get into trouble, they're going to obey the government. They're going to obey their handlers. They're going to be begging them. And I mentioned Jack Treiber. If you remember that video I did with about Jack Treiber out there when he's crying and he's begging the governor to let him open. "Please, governor, let us open our churches up. Please, governor, let us do it. We can't afford the fines that you're giving us. Please. We done all we can do. Please let us do that." And he said, and this man said, "You said that 10 years ago. You warned, and it was the exact man that you said would do it. He did it." And I was like, "Well, that's the Lord." Because I didn't know. I knew the scenario. And God showed me all those years ago not to be a part of those government groups. So, I understand what it means to practice righteous rebellion. To practice those things and to stand up for what's right. But what I'm not going to do is get caught up in Trump's FBI Mar-a-Lago PSYOP. I'm not going to fall for the Trumpian PSYOP that between the federal government and Trump, they're playing games back and forth. I'm not going to get caught up in your folly. So I get distracted by that and I start fighting another war. The Bible says we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. They want you to follow these men. So you become so loyal to these men. That you lose your footing and forget what you're into. I warned God's people about that. I warned them the other day when I was preaching in a sermon on Sunday afternoon. Well, it turns into evening because we're there for a while and we get started kind of late in the evening, but in the afternoon. So it goes into evening, which is fine. We do a lot of stuff during the day. We have a good time. It's a blessing to be together and to all that good stuff. But it's usually towards evening. But one of the things that I find is so good is that one of the things we talked about is don't get distracted by secular reading. Don't get distracted by these secular people and get your hearts filled up with that. If you're not reading your Bible every day and faithful in the Word of God, if you're not faithful in following the Scriptures and faithful in reading the Scriptures and praying, you shouldn't be reading any secular materials. You shouldn't be. If you're not faithful to the Word of God, they're all controlled. The Bible says it's the Spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. They're not loyal to Christ because they don't have Christ. All of these people, most of those politicians are all controlled opposition. Most of them are. There's also a time to righteously rebel when it comes to life. Protecting life. Remember the Hebrew midwives. Remember them? Ephesians 1:15, the king of Egypt spake to the Hebrew midwives, of which the name of one was Shipra, and the name of the other Puah. And he said, when you do the office of a midwife to the Hebrew women, and see them upon the stools, if it be a son, then you shall kill him. But if it be a daughter, then she shall live. But the midwives feared God, and did not as the king of Egypt commanded them, but saved the men's children alive. And the king of Egypt called for the midwives, and said to them, why have you done this thing and have saved the men's children alive? And the midwife said unto Pharaoh, because the Hebrew women are not as the Egyptian women, for they are lively and are delivered ere the midwives come in unto them. Therefore God dealt well with the midwives, and the people multiplied and waxed very mighty. And it came to pass, because the midwives feared God, that he made them houses. So if you've got to protect life, that's the time to rebel against government. Rahab was another one. Hebrews 11:31, by faith, the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not when she had received the spies with peace. Right? She sent them out another way. Likewise also, was not Rahab the harlot justified by works when she had received the messengers and had sent them out another way? God bless Rahab for that. So there is a time of righteous rebellion. There is a time to disobey. There is a time to do that when it comes to life and death. There is a time for that. God has a set time when it comes to that. And you pray for wisdom for that. The right way to do that. But it ain't no stinking psyop. It ain't when somebody's running a psychological operation of war between two factions and two sides. And wanting you to jump on board those sides. When neither one of them or any of them are honest. You know what I think is funny? People are all up in arms about their liberty, not funny, but ironic, about the liberty that they're losing. And I'm not saying I'm happy about it either and that all this stuff going on, but they're thinking, oh, well, look what they did to Trump and look what they did to here. Well, how does that remotely affect you? How does that affect you? It doesn't. It doesn't affect you. Unless you get drawn into it. Unless you think you have some reason that you're to be drawn into it. Which is probably not going to happen. So what am I supposed to do? As much as lieth in me, live peaceably with all men. What is my duty? I'm to go preach the word, to be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort. You think Trump's going to change the country and preserve liberty? You think Trump is going to do it? You think the people that follow Trump are going to do it? You think these politicians are going to do it? It's gospel preachers that change this nation. It's the great awakening that God used to melt the hearts of people that led even to the revolution and the other things that took place. It was Holy Spirit wrought preachers that preached the word that brought men to their knees in repentance toward God. It was churches being started by the thousands all over the country. It wasn't mere politicians. It was the great awakening that broke men of their sins, and God used that work of the Holy Ghost. It was the law that was preached. It was repentance that was preached. You see all these rallies where all these people are coming together, Trump rallies and this rally and that rally. How about God's people just show up and go to church and live for God? And pray one for another and get out there and give the gospel to people. How about 1,000 men show up to the state fair instead of about 20 of them? Where there's going to be 200,000 people a day showing up. people will drive over to see Trump, but they won't drive across the street to go to church. We'll be preaching at the state fair on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday of both weeks. Lord willing. But guess what? They won't show up to that. Most of those men won't show up to hand out gospel tracts, won't tell people about Jesus, won't live for God. They'll defend Trump, but when have they defended the gospel of Jesus Christ? Standing in line with a bunch of sodomites along with Trump, who was the most pro-sodomite guy ever in office to this point. But they'll stand in line for that, but they wouldn't stand in line to give the gospel to anybody. They wouldn't suffer and bear the reproach outside of the camp to preach the word, but they'll be politically, they'll stand in the gap for Trump. But how many of them stood outside of Planned Parenthood and preached the gospel? How many stood outside of Planned Parenthood and preached the gospel? How many stood outside of the state fair? How many will stand outside of a concert? How many will do that? Nobody's ever there. They're never there. But for Trump, for others, for political reasons, they'll do it. But you can't get them to do it for the word of God and for preaching the gospel. And I'm talking about professing Christians that go to church every Sunday. Where are they? They're not preaching. They're not warning men. Preaching is what changes lives. Look at this. You want to change a nation? 1 Corinthians 1:21. For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. God says it's the foolishness of preaching. That God uses to save them that believe. You want to change the nation? People need to be saved. People need the gospel. By the way, let me tell you something. Some of you out there want to go pick up a gun and fight. Why don't you pick up the sword of the Lord and go fight with that? Why don't you preach the Bible? Why don't you get out there on the street corners and preach the word of God? Let me see how tough you are when somebody's spitting in your face and you take it by the grace of God. When somebody's punching you in the face. When somebody's spitting on you and hating you and cursing you and everything else. But no, you'll be ready to defend Trump because the FBI raided a billionaire. But what about the gospel? What about standing up for Jesus? What about contending for the faith? What about preaching the word in the streets? What about suffering reproach outside of the camp? Don't tell me how much of a tough guy you are and how you're ready to defend the country and defend this and defend that when you won't even stand up for your Lord and Savior. You won't even stand up and preach the gospel. You won't even stand up and do what's right in your own life. But they're all up in arms about Trump. Why don't you get excited about Jesus Christ? Why don't you get excited about the gospel? Why don't you get excited about the Holy Ghost of God? Why don't you get excited about going out and preaching and handing out gospel tracts? Quit you like men and be strong. I'll tell you what, you'll gain a lot of friends by backslapping everybody that's a Trump supporter. Trump! Trump! Yeah, you stand up for Jesus out in the street and preach against sin and preach righteousness and preach those things and preach in the Word and preach it against homosexuality and preach it against the wickedness of the times and the pride that's here in this nation. You start doing that. See how many of your friends want to backslap you for that. They want to slap you, all right. They're all ready to defend some man somewhere except the man Christ Jesus. Not even man enough to live for God and raise your family for God. Teach your children the Bible and lead them by example and show them exactly how they're supposed to live. But you're ready to go, grab the pitchfork and run to DC. Let them have it. I'm going to close with this. I know a lot of tough guys that'll stand in line with a machine gun, stand in line with an AR, walk around like this, like they're walking around like this. Let's see some of these same people that claim to be Christians walk around with your Bible like that and get out in the open air and walk around like that tough guy. Walk around with the Word of God. Walk around with the gospel tract. Walk around lifting up the name of Jesus and preaching the law of schoolmaster to bring men to Christ. Mm-hmm. I've seen some of these men. Some of them pastor churches, but they're afraid to go out in the open air. They're afraid to confront anybody. But boy, they're ready. They want to get up in arms and start the revolution, brother. Really? Why don't you start by opening your Bible? Why don't you start by preaching to some sinners? You know what we need men to do? Not join the army. Not join the militia. But stand up in the Lord's army and preach. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them and embraced them and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is a heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. All right. There you go. I'm done. If you want to say hi, if you're not mad at me too much, I'll give you a chance to say hi here. Then I got to get out of here. I got to go pray and get ready for church tonight.
There are some things I may not know. There are some places I can go. But I am sure of this one thing, that God is real, for I can feel Him deep within. And my God is real, He's real in my soul. My God is real, for He has washed and made me whole. And His love for me is like pure gold. My God is real, for I can feel Him in my soul. Some folks may doubt, some folks may scorn, and all can desert and leave me alone. But as for me, I'll take God's part, for God is real and I can feel Him in my heart. And my God is real, He's real in my soul. My God is real, for He has washed and made me whole. And His love for me, He's like pure gold. My God is real, for I can feel Him in my soul. I cannot tell just how you felt when Jesus took your sins away. But since that day, oh yes, since that hour, God has been real, for I can feel His holy power. And my God is real, He's real in my soul. My God is real, for He has washed and made me whole. And His love for me is like pure gold. My God is real, for I can feel Him in my soul. And oh, my God is real, He's real in my soul. My God is real, for He has washed and made me whole. And His love for me is like pure gold. My God is real, for I can feel Him in my soul. I said, my God is real, for I can feel Him in my soul.
Hope you can. And if you can't, go to Jesus and you will be able to. God is able to save. Amen. All right. God bless you all. Pray for us. Tonight we'll be broadcasting live on Sermon Audio at 7:45 p.m. Central Time. So that's in about 3 hours and 40 minutes. If you want to watch on Sermon Audio live, you can go subscribe to that Sermon Audio page. Okay, and if you subscribe to that, then when we send out our notices, you'll get one. All right, and it'll tell you, and you can watch live if you'd like. That may be discontinued soon because we're taking the internet out of there because it's costing me a lot of money for internet right now. And because I've got it in so many locations, I got to kind of trim back some of the expenses a little bit with everything. So anyway, let's see. So if you'd like to give to our ministry, okay, you can PayPal us at salvationpreacher@gmail.com. All right. Or you can scroll down to the bottom of the page here on Sermon Audio, and you can mail us a check right there. That's the address there. Or you can do Bitcoin, cryptocurrency, all kinds of other things that people do. Also, they do Apple Pay and all kinds of different things like that. Some do Venmo. I had somebody do Venmo one day. A while back. So people do that too. Anyway, so all kinds of different ways that people can give if they would like to. All right. So if not, that's okay too. God takes care of us. Pray for us that God would use somebody else, if it's not you, to do that. And, God answers our prayers. Amen. All right. Well, we tentatively might be preaching at the Steele County Fair this weekend. I'm not sure yet. We're going to see how everybody's doing. But we'll see what happens with that. But anyway, Lord willing, unless I get busy helping some folks in the church this week, on Friday, we'll be back on Friday. We'll be back on Friday, okay? And Lord willing, at 2 p.m. Central Time. All right? All right, everybody. God bless you. Have a good night.